About 1:30, okay. Okay, fine. Okay. Okay, we'll go ahead and begin here. Is anything working? There's no problem. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. So then, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Considering today's as Father, the mystery of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. When we go back in time, 1,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saint Mechtilde, and he told her that to create the world was easy. To sustain all things and put them in their place was very easy. But what was almost impossible even for God was to conquer the mysterious human heart. When he created the world, it took only an instant. And there was no effort on God's part. But to conquer the human heart, all three persons of the Trinity had to shed all of their divine power. The Son had to shed every drop of his own blood. He had to bring forth in a painful way a mystical body. And the purpose of this body is to change the human heart and to conquer the human heart. And so today, a consideration of the Immaculate Heart and the power of that heart and where it comes from. The Immaculate Heart has power, says Saint Bernardine of Siena, because this heart was formed in the most perfect way. And Jesus Christ tells us, how do we form a heart? Where does a heart come from? And he says, that which is inside of the heart of a man comes out through his mouth. That there is a mysterious connection between the words and the heart. Human beings have a human heart, and this heart communicates especially by words. And Saint Bernardino of Siena says, I, a man, says Saint Bernardine, I am afraid to speak of that most pure heart, which is the heart of Mary. And unless God commanded me to speak of it, I would not dare to speak her name, because she is immaculate and pure, and I am filled with stains. She is perfect, and I am weak. I am not worthy to even speak her name. And unless God commanded me, I would not speak it. Now she has the greatest of hearts. And since the heart is related to the words, we can find from where comes an immaculate heart, how to form an immaculate heart, by studying the words of Mary. The first mistake is to study the seventh word. The Blessed Virgin Mary spoke seven words. Seven times she spoke in the gospel. And these words, says St. Bernardine, they are words that come from a heart filled with fire. They are words that come from a furnace of fire. And therefore these words are very hot. And they are words that came from a heart filled with love. And therefore these words are very powerful. And they are words that come from a heart that is perfect. And therefore they are words very few. For the wise matron says few words. And in her few words, she says many things. Then St. Bernardine breaks down the words of Mary. Two times she speaks to an angel. Then two times she speaks to Elizabeth. Then two times she speaks to her son. And lastly, the seventh time, she speaks once to us. And the great mistake of those that want to spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ is they go right to the seventh word. Now, the seventh word and last word spoken by Mary was spoken at the marriage feast of Cana when she said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Oftentimes, parents, priests, men of God go straight to the seventh word, and they forget about the six previous words. The priest stands in the pulpit and he says, "Do whatever he tells you," and no one listens. The mother stands and speaks to the child and says, "Do whatever he tells you," and the children do not listen. The father does the same, and no one listens. They think they can only give a command, and this will change a human heart. They think that they can only speak the truth, and it will be enough to change the world. If this was the case, Jesus Christ would never have died upon a cross. Mary would never have been the mother of sorrows. It is a common mistake of the young priest, a common mistake of the young mother and young father, to believe too much in the power of the seventh word of Mary. "I told you, do whatever he tells you." These words have no power unless they are preceded by the six previous words. The first two words are to an angel. Bernardine tells us, we must first, to purify our hearts, speak to an angel. And the very first word that purifies the heart of man is the first word recorded by the Blessed Virgin Mary in sacred scripture, which is, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" Or rather, the ignorance of sin. Bishop Sheen tells us that there is no knowledge unless there is first an ignorance of sin. Those that claim that they know well the world because they have sinned know nothing. Those who live more and more in sin receive less and less knowledge. They can speak less and less truth. And the first condition of truth is the ignorance of sin. We must remove the dirt before we can see the truth. We must remove the lies before we can see that which is true. We must remove the evil before we can see that which is good. Therefore, the first word is ignorance of sin. Now, the Blessed Virgin Mary received this word at her Immaculate Conception. But we receive this word when we are baptized. We receive this word when we go to confession and kneel down before the priest and say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And this prayer, this word, must be spoken throughout our entire lives. Even the Pope kneels down and says the first word, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. For I cannot know the Father. I cannot know the gospel. I cannot know anything unless I first become ignorant of sin, and unless I first leave behind my sins by regular and frequent confessions. Whoever wants to command others cannot do so unless he goes to confession. The first word is spoken to an angel, says St. Bernardine. And the second word is also spoken to the angel, fiat. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. The second word is the word of obedience. When we have left behind the ignorance of sin, we discover that we are empty. We discover that there's nothing inside of ourselves, and our hearts are empty, and they must be filled. And therefore, like the man that was born blind, we go to our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in the Messiah? Do you believe in the Christ? And the man born blind said, I do not know where he is. No one has told me who he is. Tell me that I might believe. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is he who stands before you. And the man fell down and adored. His blindness was removed, and that was the beginning. But the second word is to adore in obedience. But this is not enough. This is the beginning of the supernatural life. These are the levels of love, says St. Bernardine. For love comes from the heart, and it is spoken by means of words, and words form the heart. The first two words spoken to an angel. Then we come to the second two words spoken to Elizabeth. After we have obedience, many souls stop here. I have obeyed the commandments. I have gone to confession. But why is my heart not strong? Why do the people not listen to me? Why is there no power in my faith? We must go to the third word spoken to Elizabeth. And this is a word of simple greeting. The Blessed Virgin Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and she simply says, Salve. We repeat this word when we say, Salve Regina. She simply said, Salve, Elizabeth. She said a simple word, Hello. But because her heart was pure and empty of sin, and because her heart was filled with obedience, Christ had entered inside of her. And when she said the word hello to Elizabeth, the babe in her womb leapt for joy. One man says a word, and our hearts are leaping. Another man says a word, and our hearts revolt. Another man says a word, and we fall asleep. What is the difference between these words? There must be a kind of Christ inside of us. The beginning of Christ seen in others. We look back to the early Christians, and the Romans said of them, look at those Christians. Look at those Catholics. See how they love one another. And this is a beginning of a conversion of souls. Many people come to our chapels. Many people in the streets come before us. And they are greeted with coldness. And they are greeted with emptiness of spirit. And they are greeted with snide comments. And this drives many souls away from Christ. Our Lady of Good Success said 400 years ago that at the end of the 20th century, so many souls will go to hell simply because no one catches them. Simply because no one greets them, no one grabs them, no one lifts them up. Souls that are longing to be lifted up. Souls will pass by us who have the faith, and they will pass by unnoticed. And these souls will be damned, and it will be our fault, because we have not given a greeting of charity. Elizabeth is the neighbor. After speaking to the angel in prayer, we must speak to the neighbor with love. And the fourth word, my soul doth magnify the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he that is mighty has done great things unto me, and holy is his name. What happens here? St. Bernardine tells us that Mary speaks few words except once. Then she speaks many words because she's speaking the praise of God. Many times when we go before souls and we speak to them about the true religion and we speak to them about God, we are rather filled with ourselves. We're rather filled with anger or the desire to win an argument. And we are not filled with Christ. And we do not say the words of Mary, which come from that immaculate and most ardent heart, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." We must speak of Christ in our daily speech. It is done in many ways. One of the reasons why, when you go to church and the time of the sermon comes, the priest stands on the side. He does not stand in the middle. Why is this? Because the purpose of the priest speaking is to turn the minds and the hearts of the faithful to the tabernacle. And the purpose of the priest speaking is to turn the minds and the heart of the faithful to the crucifix and to the Blessed Trinity and to our faith. Very often when we speak, we rather want to turn the heart to ourselves. And this is a great danger. Therefore, the fourth word must be a word of humility. And only God knows what goes inside of the human heart. Only God knows which words are truly humble words and which words are truly proud words. We do not know. But we must do our best to turn the souls that meet us to the tabernacle and to turn the souls that meet us to the cross. And that is what we are supposed to do when we Catholics who have received the sacrament of confirmation go into the world. Why are there so few followers of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ says, "The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few." We have no workers in the vineyard. That's the problem. We have no souls that are desirous of bringing souls to Christ. In our day and age, we are taught selfishness. In our day and age, it is called a virtue. At least in the past, selfishness was known as a sin, though we all had it. Now it is considered a virtue. Many fathers wrongfully believe the grave error that their purpose is to support their wife and family. Do not even the pagans do this? Many wife believes a grave error that she is there to take care of her husband and her children. The Satanists take care of their husbands and their children, the ones that they have not aborted. We are demanded to do more. When a young man and woman come before the priest in order to be married, there is a blessing that they receive, and that blessing can turn into a curse. And in that blessing we read, "May your house be a place of rest for the unfortunate. May your house be an abode for all those that are in need. May your house be like the house of Tobias, where even the dead found a home. Where the wise Tobias brought dead bodies into his own home. Not even living bodies. He kept them there throughout the whole day. He buried them at night, endangering his own life to bury the dead. And God looked down upon Tobias, and he sent Raphael, one of the seven angels that stands before God, to bless Tobias. Angels will bless the homes of those that practice charity to the neighbor and see Christ in their neighbor. But they will not bless the homes of those who have a false supernatural selfishness." Each one of us has a responsibility to bring souls to Christ. We have a responsibility to drag souls before the tabernacle and before the priest. And it is not the duty only of the priest alone. And this fourth word was spoken to Elizabeth. Finally, after these words are spoken, says St. Bernardine, we can now speak to the Son. We can now speak to Jesus Christ. And therefore she speaks the fifth word. They have no wine. This word comes from a heart. This word comes from a heart. A heart that when our Blessed Virgin Mary speaks this word, or rather, they have no wine is the sixth word. The next word is spoken in the temple. And that word is, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. That's the fifth word. This is a word of humility, says St. Bernardine. For here is the Mother of God. And while she has climbed the supernatural ladder so high, her heart has not become proud. She does not believe that she knows and understands all. Many of us Catholics, we have made it through an eighth grade education, and we got a straight D in religion. And therefore, we are geniuses about God. And we know everything about the faith because we read some stupid article on the internet. And we believe that we are very intelligent. And we have a blog called MyKnowledgeAboutJesus.com. And we believe that we are geniuses of the faith. Fools. The Blessed Virgin Mary herself, who was conceived without original sin, who had a perfect intellect, she would not approve of any such blog. She did not understand her own son when he was 12 years old. She thought she knew him so well, but when that mysterious son and that infinite God walked away from her for 3 days, she did not understand. And if Mary does not understand the infinite God, then we cannot understand the infinite God. And therefore, there must be a word of question. No matter how far along we are in the supernatural life, no matter how much we have climbed the supernatural ladder, we must always ask questions because we do not understand. Now, this question of Mary is not a question of bitterness. It is a question of love. It is not a question of the Son, as a modern man questions. It is a begging to understand. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave an answer. Woman, what is this to me and to thee? My hour has not yet come. She did not understand the answer. What did she do? She pondered these things in her heart. And that pondering made that immaculate heart infinitely more immaculate. It made that powerful heart more powerful. It made that humble heart more humble. She is the residence. How can I speak of that heart, says St. Bernardine? For this is the heart that was created by the mind of the Father for all eternity as the most magnificent of hearts. It is the heart from which came the Son, God made man. It is the heart in which dwells every grace. How can we speak of such a heart? We think we know a lot about hearts. Many women believe this, and they do not understand the hearts of their husbands. They do not see with supernatural eyes and supernatural ears and supernatural hearts the ways of God in a man and the ways of God in the world and the ways of God in a parish and the ways of God in a church. Do you not understand? Why do you not understand? One day, King Philip II was determined to bring England to the Catholic faith. He sent his great armada into England, the greatest armada that has ever the world has ever seen, and it was defeated in a mysterious battle. And then in that battle, it was not the English that defeated the Spanish, it was the winds. It was the seas. The winds that were blown by God and the sea that was controlled by God defeated the army of God. How can this be? When the word came to Philip II that his Spanish armada was defeated by the winds, it was defeated by the sea, and it was destroyed. He knew that God had mysteriously willed that the armada of God fail. And he thought about the day of the crucifixion. He thought about the day on which our Lord Jesus Christ was defeated. And King Philip said, it did not seem right that Jesus should be defeated by Pilate. It did not seem right that our Lord should be defeated by Caiaphas. And yet in the end came a great victory. Therefore, Philip made a decree that there should be no mourning in Spain at this defeat. And he commanded that the Te Deum, the hymn of thanksgiving, should be sung. For clearly it was God's will that Spain be defeated. And why? We do not know. But we adore the ways of God. And this is the fifth word. As we travel through the supernatural life, we must understand that we do not understand. Many times an old priest, an old sister, an old father, an old mother think they know it all. And whoever thinks they know it all knows nothing. We all have questions. And we must be ready to adore the God that has decided that his will shall not be ours. Why is there a crisis in the church? Why are there so few that are following God? And when we look at the ones that are following him, we find that they are not such a good example after all. And yet, this is the way of the formation of the heart. God knows how to congle hearts. And then now the sixth word. The sixth word is also spoken to our Lord Jesus Christ. And like the fifth word, it is also a question, or rather a statement, they have no wine. For at this point, the heart understands that all we need to do is point out a problem. All we need to do is point out a difficulty. As Padre Pio said, when it was said, you, Padre Pio, have performed so many thousands of miracles. And Padre Pio said, I have not performed one, but I have been the witness of many. It is Jesus Christ that performs miracles, not Padre Pio. And so the Blessed Virgin says, they have no wine. We are in the age of the church. These seven words can also be related to the history of the church. We are in the age of that word, which is the word of they have no wine. That is, they have no charity. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, at the end of the world, charity will grow cold because of the multitude of sins. We are in that age now. The charity of a mother for a son or a daughter is gone. They murder them. The charity of a wife for a husband. The charity of a husband for a wife. The charity of the religious for God. This charity has grown cold. All the forms of charity have grown cold. And we are in a church that has no wine. St. Bernardino of Siena says, behold the heart that is filled with the greatest wine. The heart that is filled with the greatest wine, it can pour out and pour out and pour out. But wherever it pours out shall only come the best wine. And it shall never be anything less than the best. Therefore fear not that there are so many children of Mary. For she pours out only the best wine of her love into all, and there is more than enough wine to go around. We know that our Lord converted 120 gallons of wine on that day in the marriage feast, enough to make all of us very happy, enough to go around. But the Blessed Virgin made more than 120 gallons of wine. It is formed and fermented inside of her heart. The wine of supernatural words. And now the seventh word, and that is the word spoken to us. The Blessed Virgin turns to the children. She turns to the souls, firstly of the apostles, during those 9 days in which they were with her between Ascension and Pentecost, and then to the people. Do whatever he tells you. We must understand that we cannot do anything that Jesus Christ tells us without grace that flows from the heart of Mary. We cannot follow even the slightest word. We cannot obey the most simple command without something that flows from the heart of Mary. And this seventh word is not the last word. The last word is spoken not by Mary, but by Jesus Christ. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The last word spoken by Mary shall not be spoken by her tongue. The last word spoken by Mary shall be spoken by her Son. And so it is with a great teacher. The great teacher imparts knowledge to a child. And when he has finished imparting that knowledge, the teacher no longer speaks, but the child speaks. The child of Mary is Jesus Christ. And he speaks upon the cross. And he says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And this is the summary of the other seven words. And it is also the beginning of heaven. The words spoken by the eyes. The eyes are the window to the soul. And we all know that when we speak, it is the heart that speaks, whether it be a good heart or whether it be an evil heart. But the heart especially speaks through the eyes. Sometimes when the beggars come, they do not speak with their mouths, says St. Augustine. The beggars rather speak with their eyes. The beggars look up in their most ragged clothes, and they look upon us, and with their eyes they beg us to give them something. And the most powerful words are the ones spoken not with the mouth, but with the eyes. And therefore Jesus Christ says upon the cross, "Behold thy mother, and behold thy son." It is the command of Jesus Christ to his church, given in the name of St. John the Apostle, who represents the entirety of our church. What is the purpose of our Catholic Church? It is to behold the Mother. It is to turn our eyes towards Mary. And when we look upon Mary, we see that from her comes Jesus Christ. And when we put ourselves next to her, we see that it is possible to be brought to him. She is the gate of heaven. She is the star of the sea. She is all the things we say in the Litany of the Blessed Virgin. And these are infinitely deep mysteries that we behold. Behold the Mother. How do we change our hearts? We must travel through the six words before we can say the seventh word with power. We must remember that the first two words are spoken to an angel, says St. Bernardine. The second words, two words, are spoken to a neighbor. The third words are spoken to the Son of God. And only then can we speak and command others and drag others into the army of Christ. And then we go to the eighth word, which gives power to them all. Turn the eyes to Mary. And lastly, woman, behold thy son. Why is there happiness in our church? Why is there hope in our hearts? Why is it possible for us to have the faith in difficult circumstances? It is only because the eyes of Mary are upon us. The eyes of Mary penetrate sinners. They penetrate sinners and give light where there is darkness and warmth where there is cold. She touches sin and turns it into grace. She touches error and turns it into truth. She touches our wicked hearts and turns them into melted hearts for the love of God. She touches our pride and turns them into humility. The power is in her eyes. And when she sees the Son, the world is transformed. St. Augustine tells us, before Mary, the apostles failed Before Mary, the apostles did not understand. Before Mary's, the apostles were weak and they all were cowards. But after Mary, they were confirmed in grace. After Mary, they converted souls to Christ. After Mary, they formed the church. And the difference was not so much Jesus Christ, but Mary. Just as sin entered into this world only through the sin of Eve, who then convinced Adam to sin, so likewise Christ enters into this world through a young girl who says, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." And a young girl who never grows old, and one that we must love. And remember that the way to form our hearts is to always say the rosary, to maintain a frequent confession, to remember that we are ignoramuses in the things of God, to have confidence in the divine ways which are shown in the mysteries and sorrows and crosses of our life, and to recognize that the only place where we can see Mary is at the cross. And the only place where we can have hope is at the foot of that cross. And so let us go to that cross, which is our only hope. And there with Mary, we find Christ, and through him, heaven. And we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Joseph Pfeiffer. And now we'll get ready to depart, so if you can start bringing your belongings to the truck, start organizing your groups again, Syracuse first, with the cross and the statue. We'll be on our way in just a few seconds.